Paravavastavadabodhajato. Yavannanajyasita atmatattvam. Yavat kriyastavadidam manovai. Karmatmakam yena sharirabandha. Paravavastavadabodhajato. Yavanna jigyasita atmatattvam. Yavat kriyastavadabodhajata. Karmatmakam yena sharirabandha. Translation. As long as one does not inquire about the spiritual values of life, one is defeated and subjected to miseries arising from ignorance. Be it sinful or pious, karma has its resultant actions. If a person is engaged in any kind of karma, his mind is called karmatmaka, colored with fruitive activity. As long as the mind is impure, consciousness is unclear. And as long as one is absorbed in fruitive activity, he has to accept a material body. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Generally, people think that one should act very piously in order to be relieved from misery. But this is not a fact. Even though one engages in pious activity and speculation, he is nonetheless defeated. His only aim should be emancipation from the clutches of Maya in all material activities. Who knows what emancipation means?
Liberated.
If you don't know a word exactly, you should look it up. You should have a dictionary. Most people don't. You just skip the words you don't know, and then sometimes you get the whole... You get everything wrong.
Get free, or free from.
Emancipation. The act of emancipating. The state of being. So you gotta look up emancipated. To free from restraint, influence, or the like. To free a slave from bondage. Roman and civil law. To terminate paternal control over. That means when you get to like, a certain age, your parents don't have legal power over you. Right? You can leave home. And they're not responsible either. So to free from restraint, so synonyms, set free, deliver, discharge, disencumber, liberate, like that. Free from the mode, influence of the modes of nature, what it means here. His only aim should be emancipation from the clutches of Maya and all material activities, not controlled by the desire. Speculative knowledge and pious activity do not solve the problems of material life. One should be inquisitive to understand his spiritual position, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 437. Yatai damsi simido nir basmasat kudutarjuna. Gyan agni sarva karmani basmasat kudute tata. As a blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, so does the fire of knowledge burn to ashes all the reactions of material activity. That means applied knowledge, though. There's jnana and vijnana. Just knowing something but not acting on it, that won't work. We all have a tendency like that. Like we have a meeting and we say, okay, I'm going to do this, and everybody goes, yeah. And everybody thinks everything is already accomplished, that nothing gets done. Nobody does anything. Yeah, we wrote it down. We voted. Unless one understands the self and its activities, one has to be considered in material bondage. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.32, it is said, this famous verse, Yea Ravindaksha Vimukti Manana Twayasta Bhavara Vishuddha Buddhaya. That verse Prabhupada quotes many times. Aruriya Krishchena Parampadam Pada Tata Patanchido Nadrita Yushud Angraya. Someone may say that aside from devotees, who always seek shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, there are those who are not devotees, who have accepted different processes for attaining salvation. What happens to them? In answer to this question, Lord Brahma and the other demigods said, O lotus-eyed Lord, although non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated, their intelligence is impure. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for your lotus feet. The arrow to go back to disappeared. Yanya Ravindaksha Vimukti Manana. There's another place where it says they're on a helicopter, you know, they think they're liberated, but they're just a little bit above the modes of nature, but they really have to come down again. You can go up in an airplane, but you have to come down. Aruda Krishna Parampadam Pada Patanchido Nadrita Yushun. They may approach the impersonal Brahman effulgence, but they fall down again into material enjoyment because they have no knowledge of devotional service. As long as one is interested in karma and jnana, he continues enduring the miseries of material life, birth, old age, disease, and death. Karmis certainly take on one body after another. As far as jnanis are concerned, unless they are promoted to the topmost understanding, they must return to the material world. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 7.19, Bhavanam Janmanam Ante Janamamam Prapadyate. No one else ever read it. You're selling the book, you should read it a little bit. Bahunam Jamanamante. After many births, Ganamamam Prapadyate. With knowledge, they surrender. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. They know that I am everything. Vasudeva is everything. Samahatma Sadurlaba. That's very rare, such a person. Karmis do not know this. But a devotee who is 100% engaged in devotional service knows fully what is karma and jnana. If your devotee no longer is interested in karma or jnana, anyabhi lasita sunyam jnana karma jnanavritam. The real bhakta is untouched by any tinge of karma and jnana. His only purpose in life is to serve the Lord. Anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uchate. When first-class devotional service develops, one must be devoid of all material desires. Knowledge obtained by monistic philosophy, fruit of action, the devotee must constantly serve Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. Om Agyana Timirundasya Kananjana Shalakaya Chaksura Militanyena Tasmai Shri Guruvena Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Mayam Rupa Kadamaya Dadati Svapadam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Sra Shri Rupam Sajajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sativam Sadvetam Savarutam Parijana Sahitaha Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shishi Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamcha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Desutarine Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prempadayate Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namini Gora Tashe Namaha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandha Jagatate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Divyad Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavani Shri Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari. So there's the first canto mentions the fallible substance. People think that I'm protected by my army of family, husband, wife, children, grandchildren, friends. They're called fallible soldiers. They really aren't going to succeed to protect us from birth and death. But still we're thinking, even as devotees, that the symptom of surrender is that one feels himself fully dependent on the mercy of the Lord. And he's always expecting the mercy of the Lord. He's not asking for anything else except service. People do, you know, they want husbands, you know, they want a wife, want children, and they go to great, great endeavor, right?
Yes.
So now in Kali Yuga, because people, many reasons, the food is no good, the men have so much sex before they're married, the women have abortions, so they have a lot of trouble getting pregnant. They get married and they want children, and they can't do it. And they spend, depending on how much money they have, they spend millions of dollars going all over the world. And there's places in India that are famous on a certain day if you take a bath in this lake or something, and tens of thousands of people will go. One temple was doing a yajna for, you know, couples that couldn't have children. 10,000 couples came. And I saw in one newspaper jobs that are secure even in the time of economic trouble. One we should know it is to be a preacher. One was a doctor that helps infertile couples. He'll always have business. People are so much want to have their own children. And I don't know what they're thinking. You know, right? But they're thinking that this child is going to protect me when I get old. Or, you know, it's giving me such great pleasure to have this child, so they give it names, you know, joy, you know, pride, right? Names like that. Beauty, charity, you know. And at least that's kind of, they're looking for good qualities in the children, but, and they're thinking like that, you know, I have a big family, therefore I'm safe, but death, no one can, no type of protection. Rich people have so much security in their house, so many walls, guards, you know, right? But when death comes, nothing can do. There's a place to go in Mayapur. Now we can't go up there, but because it's archaeological, now they're digging it up. But one king had his palace there. And there was an invasion coming from the Muslims. So they buried the whole thing and sealed it up with mantras. And then they left one guy outside that knew the mantra to open it up after the invaders were gone. So it just looked like a hill. So the invaders came and they were looking around and they couldn't find anything. But they saw this one guy sitting up in a tree hiding. That was the guy that had the mantra, so they killed him. Mm-hmm. So then the whole family was buried inside. They couldn't get out. So if you're, when your time comes, it comes. And then the place was cursed, and if anybody broke into it, they would die. But somehow or other, I don't know, we used to go climb up there and do kirtan all the time, talk about it. It's right by the Kazi's house. So now they're digging it up and finding all the remnants in the walls and everything. So now they have a big fence around it, and we can't go up there anymore. But, so the curse wore off, but many stories like that. One guy in America, he was the richest man in the world at the time. And he was very fanatic about getting sick. He stayed only in his own room, and you know, he wouldn't touch things, and he was crazy. He went crazy in his old age. He had so many doctors around, and he had an airplane equipped like an ambulance, so if he got sick, he could take him. But he died in the airplane, you know, taking him to the hospital. You can't be protected. So the real thing is devotees realize, and they just pray to Krishna, I want Krishna, I want to serve you. Because all the other things, the money, even the health, we pray for other people's health, but for ourselves, we should just be praying that we can serve Krishna no matter what. And that depends on our effort, not our karma. It's not by your karma that you become a devotee or you surrender to Krishna. It's by your karma if you get rich, you get a good husband or a bad husband, or you get 10 children or no children. Or you get rich, or you are rich, born rich, and you lose everything. That's all karma. And our endeavor can change things a little bit, like these people talk about the secret, you know, you just desire something, you get the magazine and you find the house that you want, and you just start thinking, I want that house, I want that house. And all of a sudden, you have it, you know, somehow or other. Precious, it may be by your karma, you know, but I want this car. People, I think, and they're trying like anything. And then people say it doesn't work. They say, well, that's because you didn't do it long enough. You can try again. But it's true, eventually you might get that if you just, that's what you want. But you won't get Krishna. You might get Krishna's energy. Get things. But things come and go no matter what, but it's due to our karma, and they're all temporary. But if we get Krishna, then one will be completely satisfied no matter what else he has, no matter what his condition is. Otherwise, being poor, you know, won't make you happy. Some rich man would think, I wish I was poor. And I wouldn't be, thieves won't come. The tax people won't come. Mm-hmm. The women won't be pretending to love me just to get my money. You know, rich people are very much in anxiety. Like they get a wife, rich man, but they never trust her usually. They're worried that she just wants some money. Ambarish Prabhu, didn't happen to him, but he's from the Ford family, so it's quite a wealthy family. He said every one of his cousins has had more than one marriage, and the wife, then after a couple of years, she just divorces and takes all the money, as much as, not all the money, you can't get all the money, as much as they can, they get. And it makes big news, so-and-so's divorce is the most expensive divorce in the history. You know, and everybody watches it, watches how they're fighting and hating each other. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, everybody was watching their glorious wedding, right? Like this Paul McCartney from the Beatles. He had one wife who was a very good marriage, and then she died. And then he got another one, and all his friends told her, this woman is just wants your money. And even his own children, they didn't like her. They said, this woman just wants your money. And the lawyers told them, rich people make an agreement before they get married. They make a divorce settlement. So that the wife promises, I will only take so much. because otherwise they can take half by law. So they have to promise ahead of time. So, and everybody told him, you should do that. He said, that's not romantic. No, no. So then a couple years later, I was in London. You know, every day we'd go for Harinam and book distribution. All down this Oxford Street, there's newsstands. So the newsstands put out a big blow-up of the front page, you know, the big news, that Paul McCartney's divorce, and how they're practically killing each other in public, and the poor child is just in the middle of it, and they're just blaspheming each other like anything. It's going to be the most expensive divorce in history. You know, and even if he had something like $800 million, so even if he gave half, it doesn't make a bit of difference to him. But he won't do it. He's fighting like anything. That's how they are. No, she, you know, they're not happy. Sometimes they are. Sometimes rich people are happy. But mainly the ones that are charitable and the ones that are trying to do good for others, or if they're very religious. And then, you know, they can see it as God's. But mostly, they're in a lot of anxiety. The Bhagavatam says you get automatically, and you get rich, you get seven enemies. You know they are? Yourself is one. Thieves. Government. Beggars. You know. A couple others. They're automatically become your enemies. You always have. Rich people just, you know, all day long people are calling him for donations. And the tax people, like, you know, ask any of these businessmen, the taxes are killing me. But still they're making a lot of money, but the tax men don't come to poor people. Right? There's no use. They want money. So many rich people, they live in like Umesh. He said, we know how to live here. We have an old car, we have a crummy house, you know, don't look rich. You know, they have money, but in Bombay they have a big house and big cars. But here, got an old 10-year-old car and a crummy house, and, you know, wear crummy clothes. And so the thieves don't watch them.
Yeah.
You know, the thieves aren't going to go into everybody's bank account and try to find out. They just go by how you look. So many, the super rich people, they don't at all look rich. They ride the subway, you know, they ride the bus. They have a Casio watch or something. But the new rich people, they have the, like, in Japan, they're always advertising these Rolex watch. And they're real ones. But you can buy on a 5-year loan. So you just pay $50 a month or something. So you can look like a rich man. And you can buy the big car on a 5-year loan. People are crazy. There's one company makes cell phones. And they have like a sapphire cover and a platinum back and full of diamonds and $7,000. And, you know, it doesn't even have as many features as your $100 phone, but it's really gold, and you know. But then, it's bad enough they're stealing regular ones. In Amsterdam, they have signs all over. They show someone like this, and it says, "Use it, lose it." Is that happening here? And they just come from behind and take it. In a crowd, in a crowded place. You know, by the time you look around, and how any nobody saw him do it, and they handed it to someone else already anyway. So it's a huge business. Even the mafia is into, you know, stealing handphones, so they can bring them here from America and get, you know, sell them. They get a new box and a new, you know, charger, pack it all up. So. But none of these things, the family, the friends, the money, the security system, will not save you at the time of death. The Yamadutas have subtle bodies. They can go through any kind of a wall. and nobody else can see them except you. So nobody can, your security guards would just be standing there and, you know, they don't see them, and the guy is like, ah, and pulling him out of the body, and nobody knows what's going on. So, and if you're a devotee and you're chanting and you're surrounded by devotees, they might, you might be the only one that sees Krishna coming. But many people, one devotee in Russia, I think it was, he was very, very sick with cancer. He was suffering so much, and, you know, pain is really serious. Bhaktivinoda Maharaj, you know, he was extremely staunch. But I know the last time I saw him, the last day, in the morning, he was like, he said, last night I just wished I would have died. It was so painful. I didn't think I could live one more day, you know. But then it kind of goes away. And then the afternoon, later in the day, he was getting some treatment. And he was kind of laughing. But so this guy was suffering so much and, you know, really screaming. And then the next day, a devotee came and he was very peaceful and happy. And devotee was shocked. He said, last night Radharani came and told me, don't worry, everything's all right. Then he didn't feel the pain anymore. He died very quickly. But there were many, many experiences like that. Krishna will protect us at the time of death, which is what everybody's really afraid of. So we think we need protection. We think that, you know, but husbands die, husbands cheat. One girl in China, she writes me all the time. She's very intelligent. And, you know, we always know that she's really disturbed. And somehow she can write English like more than I could ever write. And but then today she writes and said, my father, now he wants divorce. You know, so that's, now I know why she's so disturbed. But, you know, there is no what the mother wants and what's going on. So that happens. You know, people think everything is great. Or their children steal everything. In India, it happens many times, more and more recently, that to avoid taxes, you know, like say if you inherit your father's house, then there's a big tax, an inheritance tax. So before they die, they sell it to their son for cheap, just officially. The small money, it doesn't matter, but they put it in his name. And then the son says, or the daughter-in-law says, you know, to the mother, what are you doing in my house? And they kick him out. It happened many times. I know one man happened. He bought a really big house, and he was working in Japan, so the house was in India. His son had the office in India, so he put it in the name of the son, because he's there. It's a big house, so the mother's living in the house, and the daughter-in-law kept telling the mother, what are you doing in my house? Get out. And it's their house. They can call the police. They get out. Fortunately, he had enough money to buy another house for the wife, but not everybody has that. It happens all the time. You know, the man works in Japan, they work their body off, you know, and then they finally get old, and then the wife and the son kick them out. Take everything. And the wife has a credit card, and before she runs away, she buys, you know, his entire bank account. It doesn't happen to everybody, but it can happen. So ultimately, we have only Krishna. And we learn that by seeing others, and we hopefully can learn by all the effort we make to prevent disease and get money, and it never works. Eventually, we can understand that Krishna is the supreme controller. And we can understand, just like with this recent car accident, you know, why would he take these people away? You know, but he does. It's their time, actually, their karma. And then he's leaving us, you know, more of a challenge. Everybody was crying, Prabhupada, you can't go. But he said, it's up to Krishna. Can't stay any longer. He left it all to us, and you know, a lot of things went wrong, but somehow it's still going on. As much as we can know Prabhupada's instructions, follow them. So there's so many little things, you know, that devotees don't know anymore. And when we try to tell them, they think, no, but we've been, ever since I've been a devotee for 20 years, we did it like this. But we never did it like this in Prabhupada's time. Prabhupada stopped it many times. This type of singing, this type of this, this type of that. You know, right? Prabhupada, now like it's fashionable, a lot of devotees chant, Ramo. Oh, oh. And one Vishnu John told me the story is, and he was Prabhupada's favorite kirtan. Prabhupada said anyone that hears his kirtan will become a devotee. And he was chanting Ramo. Prabhupada said, who is Ramo? And he didn't answer. Prabhupada said, it's Rama. Then he said, why are you ruining my sankirtan movement? That wasn't heard by everybody, but the devotee who heard it was quite reliable. So it wasn't much ever said about Ramo because nobody did it. There was very little ever said about chanting Radhe, 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 Radhe because no one ever did it. You know, and when he was asked, he said, we shouldn't do it. And then nobody did it. But later on, especially as more and more Indians join and you know, they're brought up on that, they're doing it more and more and they're thinking, well, no, this is what we do, this in all the movies. You know. So, Hare Krishna. So, there's things that are there, many other things also. So, at least the basic things we're sticking to very good, chanting japa and partiks and distributing books, especially. For me, it was very difficult coming here because I always went to Calgary to serve books and we didn't have books. And trying to get books tried and tried, I was thinking I just something wrong with me or I don't try hard enough. And also, it's the karma of the country. The devotees' desire has, and so finally, the devotees started realizing more and more we really need books. And then all of a sudden, the books came. So we got to, I myself even forget, but we got to keep Prem Vilas Prabhu notified and get the scores into the newsletter because everybody looks at that. They get really enlivened. And it enlivens, you know, by giving your book scores to the newsletter, then that enlivens literally thousands of devotees who read that. They go, oh, Nigeria distributing books. Wow, I didn't know there was human beings in Nigeria. We thought Nigeria was only one football team and then rioters and terrorists. That's all that's ever in the international news about Nigeria. Terrorism. Even the football team only one year or something, when they went to the Olympics and they were really popular and everybody was really thinking nicely about Nigeria, but then, I don't know, they pooped out or something. The eagle, the silver eagles, they call them.
Yeah,
so, you know, everybody was really glorifying their natural athletic ability, and, you know, they lost, but they, you know, they lost to very, very experienced teams, and everybody gave them great credit for their effort. And it was in the international news all the time, but otherwise, it's only when there's a terrorist bombing, you know, things like that, or a bogus election, and it's big news. So people are very happy, devotees are very happy to see that there's book distribution in Nigeria, and it helps them to want to distribute more books in their country also. So now we have books, and we have promise of unlimited supply. Prem Vilas even got another one of his friends also giving. He's really working at it, because he's a book distributor at heart, so, you know, when he saw that people want books, people like them, but they don't have money, he got, and the thing is also, people do have money, and as we get stronger and realize, you know, these books have unlimited value, you can tell people that, One Devotee in England, he's one of the best book distributors I've ever seen. Unbelievable. So he's going in a big parking lot. They give people the book. They're sitting in their car. Tell them it's a book about freedom. Freedom from birth, death, disease, and old age. And they go, and then they say, well, just give a donation. Give, you know, 10 pence or something, you know, like that. So they'd start to look for their money, and they'd say, oh, you be careful, don't throw that book away, because in a store that'd be £20. And then, can you give 10? And people did, you know, not everybody, but people give 5, 10, sometimes 4. But he just did it in such a nice way. You know, it's like, you don't have to, but just don't throw the book away, because in a store you'd have to pay £10 or £20. So, we always said that in Japan, you know, if you give a donation, well, how much? You can't say exactly how much. Some people you can, but some people, like, they don't like no matter what you say. Some people want to know because they're afraid they won't give enough. And if you practice enough, you start to be able to pretty much figure it out. But we just say, well, in the store it would be like, you know, $20. But we're not a store, we're not making profit, we, you know, the store has so many markup and this and that. Just give as much as you can. Vijay Prabhu, he says, I'm a monk, a printing cost is $10, anything more than that is a donation for the monk. And a lot of people give more. But, you know, he just does it with in so much detachment. And one time he wrote, like, he was reading the Bhagavad Gita and about detachment and the results and everything. So he said he went out that day trying to really be detached, and then he got much more donation. You know. Well, it's for Krishna, you know. We see devotees that go and they're keeping money for themselves, and they don't become very happy. And they don't stay very long. You start to think, well, this book distribution, it's too hard, or, you know, it's just, and they're not satisfied. The devotees who are doing it all for Krishna, and they're satisfied. They get more and more. And then we make devotees because people want it. Everybody wants that. Everybody wants renunciation. They want simplicity. They want happiness. But they just thought misdirected about where happiness comes from. What does that beer one say? Millions of happy bubbles, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, it's another kind of beer. It says,